Happy 50th podcast to us. Happy 50th podcast to us. Happy 50th podcast to Mark, Bob, and Jay. Happy 50th podcast to us. Blow out the candles. Did you make a wish?
I did.
Why do you look so disappointed?
We're still here.
So sad.
The following podcast contains graphic descriptions of international celebrating and global merrymaking. It may not be suitable for angry or unhappy audience members. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
Have you ever seen any of those foreign films? I don't like them.
Some are born great, others achieve greatness, and some watch Christmas movies.
For Natale! God is helping!
We are the wild and pretty guys!
Well, they're both festive, aren't they?
Joyeux Noël!
And we are the Festive Foreign Film Fans. Well, happy birthday, Mark.
Happy birthday, mate.
Although, it's not our birthdays.
It's not our birthday.
We're celebrating our show's birthday.
Oh, I always think it's about me. I guess it could be about others.
It's our show's 50th birthday. You know, we'd kind of do something big and dress up formally, but you just chose your birthday suit.
It's liberating.
I appreciate it. Just I wish it wasn't as revealing as it is.
I'll just keep my legs crossed.
So, yes, our 50th episode just perfectly aligns with also the end of our second season and the end of our second year. Can you believe it?
No. I can't.
When we started, first off, I couldn't even think of doing it for 1 year. But not only have we done it now 2 years, 50 shows, we did a live show.
Which was so exhilarating, so much fun. I belong on the stage. I'm just going to say it. Ever since that day, I've been taking extra time with my hair each morning, put a little more makeup on.
Got an agent.
I have an agent. I wear matching socks now.
You just wore the socks, though.
I like socks. I'm a Bombas boy.
So because of the fact that we're such good planners for these things and anticipating this going on for so long, I'm like year three. What is year three going to be like? If you think about it, so last year we tried to mix it up a little bit, yep, and we added a trivia question, which has really turned out to be fun, hasn't it?
A lot
it?
Of fun.
And I have learned so much crazy stuff about some of the countries, and I love it when you're like, did you know that? And right. I'm like, absolutely not.
Right. The trivia part has been fun. It's been fun to see our listeners' responses, see what they're going to guess, what they know for facts. I thought when Mimi sent in a note, I don't think she researched it. I think she knew that. And Mimi, if you're listening, why did you know that?
And why did you pick that one as the one you were going to respond to?
Right.
Well, I think back, and you're right, in terms of the listeners reaching out, the international listeners, it's so fun to get a message and go, wow, there are people in the world that are listening to us. I know we can see the stats, right, and we can see where we're downloading, but it's really fun when you hear from them. And this leads to the thought about tonight. I do know that trivia got us the opportunity to hand out our stickers, which is fun because, yep, then they're shipping out all over. And I like to make the joke that, like, you're going to be in Germany on a boat this summer. And wouldn't it just be fun, like, in some German city? And there it is. There's our sticker. He said, I want to see it attached to the Eiffel Tower or in Greece, one of those ancient sites. Or there it is on the butt of David.
I mean, that's probably illegal. I mean,
We're not encouraging that behavior.
But, no pun intended. But if you did do it, just take a picture.
Take a picture and send it to us.
And you don't even have to put your face on it because we know there should be, but I think it'd be great. You know, I'm going to make an effort this
year.
Just
stick our stickers everywhere.
To just take a boatload of stickers. Well, I could at least give it to everybody on the boat.
Yes.
There's 98 people on the boat. They can just find a sticker on their underneath their menu each night.
what is this? Someone just sent us a message like, hey, enjoy the show. And I said, hey, want some stickers?
Yeah, I mean, it's that guerrilla marketing. But again, we do not condone defacing any property unless it's your own or your nasty neighbors or a relative you don't like.
Just, but to see like either my face or Mark's face on the Mona Lisa would be really cool.
It really would be kind of cool. We wouldn't be actually lying.
No, right? We wouldn't be doing it.
Because we said we don't promote it. Yeah, but the Mark,
they'll just play this back in court. Yeah, we're recorded. That's the problem. So, okay, but going into year three,
yep.
We did the trivia. So I thought, okay, we should try to mix it up, change it a little bit, try something new and
keep our relationship fresh, Bob.
Yes, exactly. So we're going to role play the next year. So I'll be the Catholic school girl and you'll be the
host. Oh, dear Jesus.
So I've been trying to think and I thought we're somewhat restricted because I like to keep the length of the shows manageable. And there are some I listen to, and they're great, and they go on for over an hour, but it makes it more difficult to really try to stay current with a longer show. And I don't want to lose sight. I mean, we're really here for the Christmas movies, the customs, and the music. But I'm like, there should be something else we could do, right? We could add to the show or try out.
About, yeah. Have you have any ideas?
First, I thought, well, what if we watched a Christmas commercial from that country? And I thought with YouTube, it's phenomenal. You can usually find anything out there. So I thought, well, maybe we could. The only problem with that, I think, would be we have a hard enough time finding movies subtitled in English. Oh, I don't think the commercials are going to be subtitled.
So that's a limiting thing, but it's a good idea. I like that.
And then I thought, what if we tried to determine what was the best-selling gift from that country the previous Christmas? I think that would be kind of a cool thing to find out. I just don't know how easy it would be to find that out.
Yeah. Is it best-selling adult gift, child's gift?
Yeah, it'd be kind of like toys are always fun.
Toys are probably going to always be top. Yeah. If it's a gaming system coming out, like if Switch 2 is the big one that's coming out.
Oh, you've seen my Christmas list.
I have.
You've been shopping for them for me?
You know, it's funny. Mary Ellen texted me this and just said, Bob said you wanted to see this. And I'm like, no.
You're like, no. The tariffs are now 400%. I'm not mortgaging my house for a Switch 2.
But that would be fun. What else you have?
So how about this one? How about a new segment called The World According to Mark? Maybe something like, we want to get Mark's impression of different things. And you could be like, what's the deal with those French eating snails? Don't they like fast food? Or what's the deal with all those scams going on in Egypt? Don't they think they're all pyramid schemes? Or what's the deal with banana cream pies costing $20 in Jamaica and $25 in the Bahamas? Are these the thieving pirates of the Caribbean? What do you think about that, Mark?
Pirates of Caribbean. Oh, my God. I was also thinking, what if we talked about the gross national product of each country we reviewed? Wouldn't that be interesting? Don't you think people would want to hear that?
Did you say interesting?
Is that feedback? What about having and researching and talking about somebody from history or who made a big impact or a famous person to add to the cultural review? I mean, there's so much about the show that's been fun and never would envision we could do for 3 years. In fact, I didn't even think you could put up with me for 3 years. Like, is there something there that could enhance what we're talking about when we're talking about a country or the film even? Something
well,
in film.
You know, were you thinking, talking about people like you may not know, and that could fit in with what we do? That's not a bad
let's
one.
Let's think about it. Yeah, just I like that something. One. And it, again, not long or
yeah, but yeah. The other thing I thought could be fun, but this would be very difficult to do. And it sounds kind of like Morning Zoo-ish, but we randomly call someone in one of these countries and go, do you speak English? What do you do for Christmas? Is your refrigerator running?
Well, I think we should continue to think about it, see if our fans have any ideas that we could add enhance to our show, because we're always open for ideas.
Absolutely. Before we move on to that, I have to do a special shout out because there is a listener of ours who, whenever I hear him or whenever he comments on our shows or anything, he always talks about, how come I never get a shout out? Oh. And this is, and you know him as well, Cousin Chad from the Christmas Cousins podcast. He listens to every show, always has a really nice comment. I have to say, Chad, I apologize that we have never called you out. I've always wanted to address you and say something about you, but somehow Mark always just does something distracting whenever we get in the studio. So I wouldn't say it's really my fault.
Because, you know, what's interesting about Cousin Chad, really great guy, great show, yes. Listeners. If you haven't, it's just, you just laugh the whole time.
Yes.
Although he is kind of mean to Cousin Seth.
I know. We love Cousin Seth.
I actually like him more than Cousin.
Well, everybody does. That's
a good point. Yeah. No revolutionary thing there, right? But you know, I was on the show once, but he's never invited me back. I wonder what I did to offend him.
No, that is not true. He has told me several times to invite you back, and it's been more on me. You know, because half the time, they're very different than us. Because, Mark, we are planners. We're very methodical. We do research. No, I laugh. And I think they do shows every 20 minutes. They stop. They get a cup of coffee and come back and do another show. So he'll call up and say, hey, can you and Mark do a show in a half hour? And I love their spontaneity. And oh, you God. Will be on the show again, especially they want us for the beer shows.
You know, my agent's trying to get me to go beyond just alcohol, but okay.
But now we can go beyond alcohol to promote or advertise alcohol. That's what we can do.
Where are we? Jake, take control of this. What's going on?
Well, before we move on to our...
We're out of control.
We are, but we have to quick before we lose reins on everything. Yes. We do have to go back to Ethiopia. Remember Crumb? Ethiopia. Yeah,
I do.
How could you forget?
Mark,
I have a feeling our anniversary show's coming up. Is Crumb going to show up at the top of your list? All right. So our question was, if you remember from our last episode, we asked about a monk who's known as the guardian, who spends his life watching, guarding, praying, and burning incense before a certain thing that is supposed to be kept in Ethiopia in this special chapel. And we did drop a little hint for everyone with the comment not to let Indiana Jones know, because Ethiopia believes that it has the actual lost Ark of the Covenant or the tablets from the Ten Commandments. They believe they have them, that they're stored in this chapel of the tablet, and that only the guardian is allowed to view them. And just because of that fact, no, they won't let any scholars or historians, anyone see them, only the guardian who devotes his life to caring for them and praying before them. The validity of them is doubted because of the fact that nobody can see them and test them. But it's amazing. The monks of this monastery, they select the guardian. He's then confined to that chapel for the rest of his life, praying for those tablets.
Doesn't a part of you want to believe that's true, though, Bob?
Yes, especially when you go, we get somebody to commit to guarding these, praying before them, taking care of them. And then at the end of that person's life, we get another one to do that. And we don't want anyone to see them. They're very special.
Some people have said I have the personality to do that job.
So, Mark.
Yes.
I'm excited tonight about where we're going. And I'm saddened as well. And I have to tell you, the country we are off to is one of my favorites from my travels. This is the first time ever I can say this on the show. Not only have I been there, I was there on Christmas. I celebrated Christmas in this location. I know I told you that I was in Singapore at Christmas time,
right?
But I was home for Christmas. But I was actually in this location on Christmas. Santa came. We're going to Oceania. It's the land of the long white cloud, the island country known as New Zealand, home to volcanoes, home to sheep, home to hobbits, of which I saw and went to the Shire. So we're going to New Zealand. So you have to say, well, wait a minute, New Zealand, that's incredible. I've seen the stunning scenery. I've seen all the movies. What makes you sad about that, Bob? Well, Mark.
Well, how about it?
Want to watch a Christmas movie?
Christmas movies are our bread and butter.
We eat Chinese food and watch Christmas movies.
I heard it's the best Christmas movie since Home Alone.
I wanted to find a movie that I thought would really show off New Zealand. And there was like one about Santa that goes to New Zealand and it was kind of hokey. The movie we watched tonight called Christmas. This is, I think, one of the saddest, most depressing films of any of the films we've watched. And I think the reason why, how realistic it is in terms of unfortunate people living on the edge of poverty. And this is not necessarily just reflective of New Zealand. I think you could think of areas in the United States.
Anywhere in the world.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I have a lot of thoughts about this movie, Bob, but maybe we can start with the actors. But so New Zealand actually also is the home of one of the world's best rugby teams, the New Zealand All Blacks, who I've seen actually play twice.
And I have an All Blacks bag. And what's funny about that is walking around the United States, sometimes carrying it, I think people are going to get offended. Yeah, can I tell you, it isn't in our trivia. I decided it might be inappropriate to put it in our trivia. But now that you've brought it up, I can say this. The New Zealand badminton team, they were requested to change the name of their team because they were the All Black Cocks. So with that,
is that true?
Yes, it is true. And I was going to use that as trivia. That is absolutely true.
Well, this is good that we're laughing before we get into our movie. Deep hole.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bob.
All right. So here's our actors in Christmas. The movie is called, the name is just Christmas. The first actor, his name is David Hornblow. He plays Carrie, and Carrie is the brother who's come home for Christmas. David Hornblow is a poet and an occasional actor. And this is, I found interesting, he's also a qualified drug and alcohol counselor, and he is because of his own past addictions. He came out of his past addictions, and he became a counselor, which is great. But watching this movie, I could see that he probably had a past experience.
Yeah, and certainly how he portrays himself, he probably lived portions of what the movie was.
Absolutely. He's known for his roles in New Zealand films in really gutsy roles.
Makes sense.
Yep. There's a family, so there's several people we could pull out. These are some of the ones we did. Helen Pierce-Oteen, she plays the sister Megan. Helen Pierce-Oteen is a New Zealand playwright, actor, and author. She also started a theater company. She was a founding member of this theater company that works in prisons, youth residential homes, and the Maori communities. And I think she is native, don't you think?
I would, it has to be.
Yeah, because I think the family is like split. She grew up in New Zealand. Again, this is fascinating. She has a master's degree and a PhD, and she's a registered psychologist. So I'm like, after you did this movie, did you have to go see yourself? This, again, disturbing. Yeah. We'll get to it. But she's also a writer, and she's published like two graphic novels in a series that are published in English and Maori called Matawehe Fables. So actor, playwright, PhD, author, and she's in a movie. Can you put me to shame anymore? And then finally, this is the woman who plays the mother, Darian Teckel. And she's like the only one that's trying desperately to keep the family together. Darian Teckel is a New Zealand actor, playwright, and teacher. She was the very first student in the New Zealand Drama School in 1970. It's called Toi Wakare, and she was in the first class. She teaches acting. She's known for her mentorship of young actors, filmmakers, and playwrights. She's recorded an album. People are just, you know, can they not be so successful? She recorded an album called No Regrets. She's best known. Now, this is some of our listeners may have recognized her from this. She played Serene, Xena's mother, in the television series Xena, Warrior Princess.
She was
the mom, yes. And she won Best Performance in a Digital Feature for her role in this film. And they were all good actors because they were so natural, but I'm surprised this film got any awards. And I think, I sound so negative, but Mark, in this movie, crying, screaming, yelling, spending time in the bathroom.
Physical violence, right?
Yeah, just covers the whole gamut. And seriously, there are so many scenes with people on the toilet, and I think it's because it's the oasis in their house. It's the only place they can get away from all the chaos.
That's right.
And I think this was purposeful, but was there a lot of gross behavior? I mean, that like the brother who comes home, he's high and drunk, and he's eating the food with his hands. And then the next day, the other brother's eating the food like with the spoon right out of the serving dish, and the other one's sitting at the table picking his nose. And
You know, it's interesting. I think you said it really well. The movie and the family that's represented there probably is more realistic and represents family strife better than most Christmas movies where everything is perfect. I don't know if that's making sense.
No, that's absolutely making sense. And that's maybe what I struggled so hard with, because you want some hope, something positive. And I think there really wasn't anything here. And didn't you see there were young kids in it? And they're seeing all this, and it's like their future is destined for them. Now, maybe not. Maybe they could rise out of.
Yeah. Really, the premise of the movie is a family gathering for Christmas.
Yeah. And they show 4 days of.
Just 4 days of activity. And there's so many inter-family disagreements and fights over things. Carrie, there's one scene where he didn't buy anybody any Christmas presents, but they all bought him one, right?
But you could tell he's desperate for money. He takes his mom, has only 60 bucks. He takes her 20 bucks. People are calling him on the phone. He owes him money.
It's kind of sad. I would say this as the movie, the second time I was watching it, you know, the one scene where the mom is sitting there, it's Christmas morning, and the song Hark the Herald Angels Sing is playing. You know, the mom is just sitting there and she's crying. And in that moment, I thought, you know, this sounds very judgy, but it made me think we're so blessed to be able to celebrate the Christmases that we do. And we've all had Christmases in our lives where maybe it was hard to be joyous because of things going on in our lives. But in general, we've been very blessed. But this film represents, I think, this mom, this dad has their children, their grandchildren there, and they're just doing the best they can. And that just that one moment with that beautiful song, is that her Christmas gift? Does she get the gift of being able to sit there and hear this beautiful Christmas song? And is that a moment of joy for her? Because not a lot of joy around her. I got a little emotional the second time I watched that, and then that scene happened. God, she's just trying. Trying so hard.
That is exactly true, because I watched it 3 times and same thing happened to me. First off, the stresses in their life, I think, are very realistic. Mm-hmm. These are things that people really face. They want to have a nice Christmas. Right. They want to, but there's all these other factors. Yeah. Things keep breaking down and fights. And I think almost every character at some point breaks down and cries because I don't know if their expectations are high or emotions are high. It is just heart-wrenching. The one thing I did notice, and I'm curious if you did, throughout the whole film, pretty much they most of the time sit themselves in front of the TV. Mm-hmm. TV's on all the time. Radio's on all the time. Mm-hmm. And right at the end, if you watch through the credits, it's a radio discussion, and it's talking about there are people who don't have a nice Christmas, and they're having a dialogue. And it's almost like they're describing what this family just experienced.
I did not catch that.
What's ironic is it follows the end of the show where they're listening to the Queen's speech.
Right.
And they show the brother, who I think is dead.
I think he is, too.
I was going to ask you.
I was going to ask you, too.
Yeah, I think he was. I think he's dead, so OD'd. I mean, I'm going to quickly run through. This is all the stuff that happens. Brother comes home, parents' house. His sister arrives with the kids. They watch TV. The mom cries. The kids are rowdy. There's scenes with them drinking and throwing rocks at a neighbor's nicer looking house. Yes. Yeah, the nicer neighbors. It's a lot of fighting, yelling. No Christmas decorations. We do know it's Christmas because they're home for Christmas. And it's warm in New Zealand, so that's one thing. But they do put up a Christmas tree, but the Christmas tree is the only decoration you'll see there in there. The mom was reading the Bible before she goes to bed, and she's listening to a religious show. The other brother shows up wasted, although he's the most fun and upbeat. He's like, yay, it's Christmas. Like I said, lots of bathroom scenes. The dad runs over the cat. They bury the cat. And then the rest of the time, the kids and the mom are looking, what happened to the cat? The brothers, several scenes of them wrestling, either fun or actually fighting. They're partying in the car. They throw stuff at the neighbors. The sister cuts her hair and dyes it blonde. The one son crashes his car, coming home drunk.
Yep.
The other one pees the bed and is trying to clean it up. The sister has a breakdown. She fights with her husband. Then her husband comes back. Then she busts the sliding glass door window. There's another sister who floats in and out of the film, clearly having issues.
Right.
She's smoking, she's drinking, she's taking pills. Later we discover she's pregnant, she has a miscarriage. And that's a terrible scene. The kid, the boy like steals the candy out of the pantry and is like sitting in the woods stuffing himself full of candy. Christmas Day, the mom's trying so hard to make it nice, but then blows up at her brother for not buying any gifts. And then the OD.
I mean, you forgot the one scene in the movie that has not been in any of the 50 movies reviewed.
What's that?
The guy giving himself a suppository.
You're right. I don't think we've even come close to that, Mark.
Yeah. All those things you said, plus there's even a few more surprises that we haven't discussed. No,
yeah, not surprises that you want to know. He's clearly having some bowel issue.
Poor Carrie.
So, Mark.
Yeah.
Was this festive?
So, I don't know what you're expecting me to say, but yes.
No way. You think it's festive?
I mean, I think it is festive from the standpoint of I feel like I'm so blessed to have all the things I have. And I just felt like, who am I to define what a festive holiday is in the spectrum of people's potential experiences? And so their holiday, I think they were making it as festive as they humanly could possibly make it. And so I'm going to say, you know what, family out there in New Zealand, who I couldn't understand, even though you spoke English, and I counted 4,251 and a half mates. Did you hear that yeah. many time when you were in New Zealand?
Mate, I don't know. Not as obvious as you hear it in the film. What I thought what you just highlighted was really funny when you texted me and you said, we needed subtitles on this film where they're speaking English, but I agree with you.
So
half
fast.
Of the dialogue yeah. is that whole scene in the car. I don't even know what the younger brother was even talking about.
No idea. I would say this. I think this is a festive film in the sense that it is trying to represent what a holiday looks like for people that they're having challenges in life.
Listeners, listen, mark this down or cut this out. Mark is a better man than I on this one. I give the movie credit for doing a very realistic depiction of people suffering yep. on the edge, struggling with addictions and poverty. And I think that they do a good job at it, but I just came away depressed. Maybe I'm feeling a little like, I love New Zealand. You're going to have such a right. bad impression. And you shouldn't. They gave a realistic example of struggles, but there are many beautiful things about it. New Zealand as well that we don't get to see. So I guess if you thought it was festive, you felt joyful?
I think I went through the emotions. I think I went with that family there. And yes, I never felt happy, but I just had so much pity for them.
Yeah.
It was sort of depressing to see all these things going on. But I never felt joyful. But that scene with the mom on Christmas morning, listening to the music, and I forgot she reads the Bible every yeah. day. Like, I just felt like there's a spirituality of this movie that made me think, you know, it's not that bad.
And the one thing you're right about, not pitying the people, but pitying some of the things that they had to experience.
Yeah.
Like the mom, so her and her husband have a fight and he's going home to his family and she's like, stay here to her son. We'll have the best Christmas ever. It'll be the best Christmas ever. And the son, he's like, can I get a PlayStation 2? First off, I'm like, well, you're killing the emotional vibes here with your exactly. mom. But then she goes, yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
I'm
maybe.
Like, you're not getting a PlayStation 2.
You're going to watch it in the future again, Bob?
Mark, I'm turned around a little bit talking about thinking about it. I do want to give it credit. It does do a good job. The narrative it's putting out there, it really does. It just, some of the stuff I felt was just unnecessary. Would you recommend it to someone?
Probably not. It'd have to be a very unique situation where somebody wanted to say, hey, I like sort of out there movies that maybe depict Christmas in a different way. Because for some people who watch joyous, happy movies, they're like, oh, please. Nobody's that happy. Nobody falls in love like that. It would have to be the right circumstances to say, look, you want a movie out there that's going to confuse you or bring you down a notch or two on joy? I got a movie for you.
You know, it's funny. I was going to say, I can't think of any scenario where I'd recommend this movie to someone. However, you now give me an idea. I do know people that sneer at the Hallmark movies and... Yeah. Okay, you want something that's anti-Hallmark? Watch this one and then tell me what you think.
180 degrees from Hallmark movie material.
But well, I am going to try to lift our mood, at least yes. my mood a little bit.
Let's do
Mark,
it.
Mark, I want to tell you how to say Christmas in Tairamore. What that is, it is actually one of the official languages of New Zealand. Now, you know, most everybody speaks English. Now, what's interesting is, and I learned this through the trivia, and I could share another trivia fact that didn't make our trivia, that the islands of New Zealand were uninhabited. There were no people there. The Maori people were the first people to come and colonize there. So to say that they're the native peoples there, they're not. They were just the first people to come okay. and live there. This is their language and how they would say it. Maori kariha meta. It's a translation. It's really trying to say Merry Christmas. If you listen to them, the kariha meta kind of sounds like Christmas. If you say it fast.
Yeah, it does. Kariha meta. Merry kariha meta.
This is another of the situations what you love where Christmas is really not part of the Maori culture. It isn't, but they embrace it. They celebrate Christmas. They enjoy Christmas. They have churches that have a strong Maori influence and presence, and Christmas is very big in those churches. So it's one of those things where you have a culture where Christianity wasn't necessarily part of it, but once they came and, you know, the missionaries came, they learned about it, they embraced Christmas. So you'll find that there are Christmas carols that are translations into Maori, like Silent Night, which is Mari Te Po, is Silent Night, and Jingle Bells is Tange Pear. But what is fascinating is they know, it's recorded, the first Christmas service that they're aware of in New Zealand was in 1814.
Wow.
This is when Anglican priest Samuel Marsden, he delivered a Christmas sermon to 400 Maori natives there in the Ohai Bay in the Bay of the Islands in New Zealand. Isn't that great? He recorded it, and we're going to now quickly go right into the customs, only because what he recorded is while he was there, he was right under this tree that people will say this is the New Zealand Christmas tree. And the reason why they say that, it's not necessarily the tree is big and huge. Right. You wouldn't have it in your house as a Christmas tree, but it blooms in December with very deep red flowers. Oh, wow. So this is where he was giving his sermon under the Pūtekaua tree. The Pūtekaua tree is considered the New Zealand Christmas tree, and it's become now part of their tradition. So in terms of when I say you'll see it on stamps right. and Christmas cards. So it's kind of iconic. That represents Christmas for them. In fact, they say the first known published reference to it is in 1857, where they were using the flowers of the Pahutaka tree as table decorations at Christmas time. So they put them out because they're red, so it was great. And then there was another reference, an Austrian geologist who went there and was studying New Zealand, and he made note, he said, all the settlers there decorate the church and their dwellings with the branches of this tree because it's so colorful. And he referred to it as the settler's Christmas tree.
That's really cool.
And then another reference is in 1941, there was an army chaplain, Ted Forsman, and he wrote a Christmas carol. This was during World War II. And he made reference to the tree again, the Pahutaka tree, the red tufts of the tree he referred to as New Zealand snow. Now, this is a non-Christmas thing, but again, it shows a crossover with the Maori culture. In their culture, this tree has a myth around it. The legends tell of Tahaki. Tahaki is a young warrior. He attempted to find heaven to seek help to avenge the death of his father. And so he was up on a cliff, fell to his death. And so the crimson flowers of the tree are said to represent his blood. So we have the tree. Wow. It's a crossover. So yeah,
that's a lot about a tree. Yeah. All different. Wow, that's really cool.
What I wonder is I was there in December, so it would have been blossoming. I can't tell you if I saw one. There was a tree. I'm thinking now that there may be, but I can't tell you if I saw the tree when I was there.
Don't you wish you knew though? You could have been looking for it.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I know. Now I would absolutely really cool. be looking for it. As we've indicated, it's summer there. So you have kind of a laid back summer vacation kind of vibe for your Christmas these stunning surroundings. So typically most people will do a picnic on Christmas. Because of that, if you think about it, the warmer weather will influence what people eat. They tend to, you know, eat more summery type foods. And the focus tends to be more on outdoor activities and being and enjoying the beautiful weather. Although we say that and we think back to our movie and they had paper plates and their food in the house almost the whole time. So picnics and backyard barbecues, soaking up the sun, swimming on the beach, boating. They have outdoor Christmas parades. And so the traditional food, summery fare, like we would think fresh seafood, lamb chops, glazed ham, barbecued sausages, summer salads, fruit, new potatoes, beer, wine, and Christmas cocktails.
That sounds wonderful. So Christmas Day, New Zealand, Baker family, where did you eat?
So at that point, we were staying near Queenstown. We weren't in Queenstown that day. We were staying, it was beautiful. It was on a golf course and they had a big Christmas meal. We had crackers and we had our little crowns on.
Nice.
And the food was great and it was very fun and it was very summery food. In fact, it's Christmas, right?
Right.
The town was so beautiful. The weather was so beautiful. We just wanted to go out and go place and all that, but they were all closed.
Yeah.
I told the story on one of our other shows too, that we were in Queenstown Christmas Eve night, having a beautiful dinner, sitting outside. Queenstown is absolutely stunning, surrounded by mountains. Beautiful. That was a wonderful night. Really nice. But that was the one where we stayed late and the
people are like, come on,
we got to go home. There's been a lot of crossover between the Maori's habits, lifestyle, arts, and actually cooking techniques. There is one, and you'll see it, where people will say, what are you having for your Christmas meal? I kept seeing this reference to hangi, H-A-N-G-E. What is hangi? Is that like a fish?
Right.
And what it is, it's a Maori style of cooking. This is fascinating because we've also seen it in Africa, and it's similar to a luau in Hawaii, where you dig out and you cook the food in the ground with heavy stones. For some reason, this has really become a Christmas tradition to cook the food in the hangi tradition. Hangi means, the translation is to create or to make something. So the hot stones are placed in a hole in the ground. And they say instead of spices and salt, the Maori, at least, people will use flax leaves. They're put on top of the stones to bake.
Yeah.
And then they say the most popular flavor enhancers are harapito and kawakawa, and sometimes crushed seaweed. You add it to the food on the stones, and they say it gives the food a very unique, smoky flavor, so it makes it more of a memorable experience. And the hole is covered carefully with dirt from the edges up to the top of the pile, so the steam cannot escape from the pit, and it takes 2 or 3 hours to cook. They say it's nice because it allows people to talk and enjoy themselves while the food is cooked. And then you have it, your food, with a smoky, earthy flavor. Two other things really kind of funny. This first one, I can't even believe it, but I saw it several places. They talk about this. Snoopy's Christmas. You know that song, Snoopy's Christmas, where he battles the Red Baron? They say it's probably the most popular Christmas song in New Zealand. And it was more popular in New Zealand than any place else in the world. Even though it was released in 1967, it still shows up on charts in New Zealand. Even now, it was a hit in New Zealand when it was released, but almost nowhere else was it a hit. It was a hit there. It's never been on the Billboard Hot 100 in the US. In the UK, you know, they always have the Christmas record of the year. Never came anywhere near, but it was the biggest selling single EMI ever had in New Zealand. It's not even remotely have anything to do with New Zealand. It was sung and written by Americans who were pretending to be Canadians about an event that was happening in France between British and German troops. Nothing about New Zealand.
That is amazing.
They love it.
I love that.
And this other one I just had to mention because, Mark, I saw this. We were in Auckland in December, and there was a store on one of the busy main streets there, this giant Santa on the store.
Wow.
And it had been there. It weighs over 5 tons, and it's at a height of 59 feet tall.
Oh, my God.
Now, years ago, it started in 1960, and years ago, it used to have a winking eye and a beckoning finger to try to get people to come into the store. It was up there for 30 years at the store, and then the ownership changed hands, and it got rehabbed, repainted, had rotted, and there was rust on it. They cleaned it all up. And then in 2008, they gave it to the city because it was getting too difficult to maintain.
Yeah.
This was a big issue. Okay, the city has it. Do we still want to put this up? Do we still like this? So they had a big Facebook survey, yes or no, do you want
wow.
it?
Wow.
The polls overwhelmingly were pro Santa on Facebook.
Yes.
And so, again, got another big makeover, $100,000 makeover. Put it up in 2009. So I saw it after this when they took away the creepy, they thought the finger beckoning was creepy and they put it up. I'm telling you this because I saw it. But now in 2020, after 6 decades of being it, they retired it.
Oh,
and it's no longer up there. But it was, I have a picture of it because you walked down the street and they had this giant Santa on a building. It was really awesome. And I was so sad. I'm like, oh, they took that down.
No.
It was very distinctive. I had never seen anything like that.
Wow. Hey, Bob, do they have any other kind of music than New Zealand?
Mark, I thought we'd play Snoopy's Christmas.
Well, it sounds like it should. I love that song, by the way.
I love that song, too.
I mean, it's a great song.
And it makes the New Zealanders are even more endearing because of that. I feel like this episode, I'm trying to do everything possible to give us a positive feeling about New Zealand. And I'm so excited because they do have Christmas music. We're going to play the Christmas music. And Mark, I really, really like this song.
All right.
I really do.
Let's listen to it.
This calls for some Christmas music.
Yes, this Christmas music.
What kind of Christmas music is that?
The least you could do is play some Christmas music.
And now back to Christmas music.
And Mom will see all my tattoos and shake her head like I'm bad news. But she still wants me around. Still wants me around. It's Christmas time. We gotta hope. We put our differences aside. But she still wants me around. She still wants me around. It's Christmas time.
Wow.
It's a banger, mate.
It is a banger, mate.
Oh, Mark, that song makes me want to drink all of Dad's alcohol. Isn't it fun? That's
a lot
that's
of fun. Well, actually reminds me of my childhood a little bit because I was always singing
that. Stealing Dad's alcohol?
No. Well, I'd sing like when my mom would still want me around. I was kind of happy.
Yeah.
It's always debatable every year. So.
Yeah. It's really nice to get a really peppy, upbeat, like let's dance around. It's Christmas time. Radio New Zealand had a Christmas song competition in 2019, and this is an Auckland alt-pop group called Beachware.
I love it.
And they run this contest because they feel like there's not any really good New Zealand Christmas song. So this group, they were just a group of friends. This is really funny. They got together in 2017, and they said, let's try to write some songs about our experience in New Zealand and what's it like to live in New Zealand. And they had kind of a summery, poppy vibe to them. And they also say kind of also like 90s computer games. You know, I'm sure maybe my kids could relate to. I don't know if I could relate to. But they called it Fun Kiwi Surf Pop, which that's what exactly
Holy
what it sounds
perfect.
Like. They wrote this song and it did well. Everybody loved it. And the proceeds from the sale of the Christmas song were donated to the Rainbow Youth Organization to support queer, gender diverse, and intersex youth. The message, they say, their song is called Take Away the Tree. And the message is, sometimes Christmas can be hard, especially for those whose family aren't as accepting as others. They wrote this song to say, hey, you know what? Even if your family doesn't accept you, things are okay because you can find another crew. You can join. Right. There are people out there who will accept you. Hey, it's a great,
great message.
And raise money. And it also has a spoken word segment from the Auckland rapper Tourette's.
Oh, Bob, please, can we get this episode over?
Yes, here we go. Mark, all right, on to trivia.
It's trivia.
I mean, how can a place with such dramatic scenery, golden plains, towery mountains, stunning valleys, that so accurately depicts the Middle Earth from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, not have some amazing trivia? Just the fact that New Zealand is not part of any of the world's seven continents. It's not. It is, in fact, the largest piece of a submerged continent called Zealandia, which it's the only part that's above sea level. Now, you hear that and you almost feel like I'm playing a joke on you.
Right.
You
yeah.
You're like, Zealandia? Really? Yeah. The continent that's underground? You know, is Atlantis down there too?
Right.
But no. If you're looking for your precious, the one sticker to rule them all, we've got it. And you just need to make it through our fires of Mount Doom. You have to answer our question, and you can get that precious sticker. So we thought about first, did you know that New Zealand has the world's heaviest insect? It weighs more than a sparrow.
Wow.
So can you imagine a sparrow trying to eat it? Or they have the clearest lake in the world. In fact, it is as clear as distilled water.
Did you see that?
I did not. Okay. I did not. Where's... Although I will say the water was like, you know, melted snow right off the mountain. Or there is a hill that it's the world's longest name for a place. The name of this hill is 85 letters long. So I figured we'll give you two stickers if you can send us a recording of you saying
85. Do you know that's 2 times supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? Because that has 35 letters in it.
two times. Or when the New Zealand rugby team toured the U.S. in 1912, they beat our team so badly that we now attribute that the reason why there was less interest in rugby in the United States was because of how badly we were beaten. Or we thought about this. New Zealand is the first country in the world to grant women voting rights. First country.
Way to go, New Zealand.
Way to go, New Zealand.
They're looking up. Yes. I'm feeling better about the movie and New Zealand.
Well, wait. They also have coffin clubs where groups of old people get together to make their own casket. It's to fight loneliness, and it's a very cost-effective way to pay for a coffin. So don't get you're just turning the corner and getting excited, and now we're talking coffin clubs.
I mean, why not? I don't want somebody else picking out my coffin.
You want to make it yourself.
That's right.
Get together with some guys and, hey, let's make our coffins. I mean, look at how many things. We considered testing you on the fact that hamsters are illegal in New Zealand, probably because they're afraid of all the people from Peru coming and eating them.
Probably.
Or how they can deny you a residency visa if your BMI is too high.
Well, you know, that's just rude.
That's why that's why they kicked me out. They said, nope, you can't stay.
He's not a resident.
Do you know that Americans started a riot in New Zealand in World War II because the bars weren't segregated? Because the Maori soldiers were fighting side by side with the New Zealand soldiers. And so they had a reputation for being outstanding fighters. But no, the U.S. servicemen didn't want to drink with them, so instead they rioted. But instead, we want to ask you about this incident that occurred in 1996. A 21-year-old man burst into a New Zealand radio station, took the manager hostage, and demanded that they play a certain song. Now, I wish it was, but it is not Snoopy's Christmas. That would be more than appropriate. But if you know, we will provide you with our choice of festive foreign film fan stickers, perfect for your own hobbit hole. So let us know. You won't even have to bust in here and take Jake hostage, although we might pay you to do that.
Please.
We'll play whatever song you want, just if you'll take Jake hostage. So send your answers to thefestivefans@gmail.com. And Mark, tonight's quote, I want to tell you who said the quote.
Yeah?
But I can't.
Why?
It's anonymous.
Oh.
It's an anonymous quote that says, and this is true of our country of New Zealand, the world is full of wonders waiting to be explored. Open your heart, broaden your horizons, and let the holiday magic unfold. And last call, we want you on our anniversary show. We're recruiting. Yes. We're asking any kind of creative contribution. You want to give it, you want to tell us, you want to send us something, we will share it. It's coming up. It's next show. It's our anniversary show.
Wow, Bob, it's been 2 years of just perfect bliss.
It has. And Mark, I need a suppository. Are you busy?
You know, going back to that Santa with the finger.
Oh, there you go. They probably got rid of it so I could find it.
Well, I'll just say is I think I'll visit New Zealand anyway.
Yes, please do. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. I don't care what Christmas says.
Good night, mate.
Good night, mate.
Bob, you know what I want to do for our second anniversary?
What's that?
Take the night off.
What do you mean?
We want to hear from our listeners. We'd love to have you on our show. Record a message or send a note and we'll read it out loud. Share a story with us. Did you ever spend Christmas in a foreign country? Is there a place you dream of visiting? What world customs do you still practice and are passing on to your kids?
Or is there a favorite 4F episode that you like? Or maybe a favorite intro bit? Have you watched one of our movies or added one of our foreign Christmas songs to your holiday song rotation?
We love top five lists. Tell us your top five Christmas baddies, top five countries we haven't covered, or your top favorite Christmas foods, because we love food on this show.
Did you like our live show? Should we do more? What should we do differently? Whatever you want to comment on, you send it to festivefans@gmail.com. We'll put it on our show, and you'll be super popular with all those festive foreign film watchers. You know, the ones who speak English and listen to podcasts about Christmas. Yeah, you'll just be popular with us.
Yay!
Send it in now. Our anniversary show is June 6th.
If we use your feedback on the show, we will announce your name and send you a special sticker set that includes our sponsors. Send it to festivefans@gmail.com.
Actually, we're done.
Done, done.
It's over. Over, over. It's over.
It's over. Kaput. Finito.
It's over. It's over. It's over.
This has been a Waysound Studio production.
And sound engineering on our show is by Jake Fontana.